blessings. And Lord, I want to thank you for what you're going to do in this hour. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be in tune to the truth of the Word of God. Lord, help us to be sensitive to the leading of your Spirit in our life today. I pray, Lord, that you would stir us up, that we too would be like David. When all the odds are against us, we're going to get in the battle. Lord, I pray that you would call someone here to serve you. Maybe someone here today has been leaning into the ministry. Lord, just pray, Lord, you would take away the fears. Lord, there's someone here who's fearful of sickness, fearful of some other things happening in their life. Oh, Lord, I pray you'd help us to have the courage David had to go forth and get into the battle and do what's right. Bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Notice here the setting. The setting here, there had been an invasion by the Philistines. And now the Philistines, so I need to define what they are. They were just on a bunch of ungodly people who wanted nothing to do with what God had to do. And so, do we have some parallels today? I won't go there, not in politics, but the Philistines were come to take the land of Judah. And there's some significance because the land of Judah, why is it so important that they get into this battle? Jesus was the line of the what? Tribe of Judah. So if the Philistines took over this area here and made the children of Israel slaves to the Philistines, then where would the line of the tribe of Judah come from? You see how important this battle was? I don't think they saw it, but we can see that now looking back. That was a very, very important battle because that's which the line of the tribe of Judah came the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And I can see some parallels to today out there because America is the line or the line in which the gospel is given to the rest of the world. We have the freedom to give it all out here. And we're the line that brings the gospel to the rest of the world and missionaries around the world. Thank God we're seeing what's going on in China. And I'm not at liberty to say what some of the things I know that are going on even in the back door of Korea, North Korea. And so we're glad that the gospel's coming from the United States and it's going out to the rest of the world. And we're seeing the victories. We're seeing some good victories out there. But I also see some dangers out there because many of the Christians are facing the giants out there in the news media, in the culture that we're living in. There are a lot of giants that would stop us, if they could stop us, from presenting the gospel. Even our wonderful Speaker of the House who says, that man talks to somebody who's not even there. How could you trust a man who talks to somebody who's not even there? How could you get up and mock and make fun of our vice president when he has a fundamental idea of prayer? And we're going to face some giants we never thought we would face out there. I don't know what the giant you're facing is, but a lot of people have this giant out there of finances. They have the giants of being faithfulness in church. There's all kinds of little giants out there, little things that stop us. But look, David got out there in the battle. And today we're seeing these giants, the giants of liberalism, are trying to take the land that God has raised up to get the gospel to the rest of the world. It's no incident. I don't think it's an accident. I don't think it's God's plan. But God said we want America to go and fall and be like the way of Rome. But it seems like throughout history, look at through the Jewish history, whenever they had a time of abundance, the abundance brought the apathy. The apathy always brought the apostasy, and the apostasy always brought the anarchy, and anarchy brought back more faith because it purged the church of people who were just going across and going for along to get along. But here David sees this, and I think he sees that if they don't get into this battle, these giants are going to turn Israel into servants of the Philistines. And then what we'll see, what would history be rewritten if they did not get into the battle? And so David cries out, is there not a cause? And I say the same thing this morning. Is there not a cause today? Is there not a cause? Can we afford to just sit back as Christians and watch what's happening? Because, friends, we have the hope of the world right here. So it's, well, that's barely narrow-minded. No, God created man to bring glory to God. That's why, that's our whole purpose. But man is leaning there where they're bringing glory to themselves. And anytime man tries to bring glory to himself and exalt himself in pride, it always leads him worse off than the beginning. And so we want to make sure today, we want to make sure that we are not being hindered by some giant out there that's crippling us and our fears and is getting our eyes off of God. May God open our eyes to see how powerful our God is today. Because it's fearful when I'm not saying any news media is better than the other. I think both of them are out trying to sell news, whatever they can put it at. And both of them seem to embellish it. But some things is when I look out there and what they're seeing, how could they say that's truth and what's truth is a lie? How can they do that? Well, when truth has become relative, now for young people, that doesn't mean your cousin. But when truth has become relative, that is, it becomes very fluid. It becomes whatever you want it to be. When truth becomes whatever you want it to be, you can justify anything you want because truth is relative in your life. And this is what we're seeing all across in our universities across the country, that truth has now become relative, and now we can't decide if I'm a boy or a girl. Well, how did we get here? How did we get there? Nobody seems to be looking at the reality is that the Pew Research Foundation 2016 came out, that's about 3 years ago, but 2016 statistics show up to 74% of the children born in America are born outside of wedlock. So that when you break down the American family, what is that going to do to the rest of the nation? What does that do to your own home? What does that do when you're trying to raise your own kids and I'm trying to raise up some kids and we try to raise up some godly kids and godly grandkids? What's that going to do to the next generation? We need to raise our children in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's our answer today. The hope is the gospel. And we need to go forth and get into the battle with the power of the blood and the Word of God, and we can defeat the world because this is the dunamis right here. This is the dynamite that we can use to reach the gospel to the rest of the world. The invaders today are usurping our authority of Jesus Christ in our life. They mock and make fun of Christianity. You know, there's different variations. I'm a Baptist, I'm a Catholic, I'm a this, and Christianity. When they can mock and make fun of it. There was a time in America where the politicians went to the preachers before they made a decision. Like the Bill of Rights. It wouldn't have been passed if it wasn't if a certain preacher, Leland in Virginia, didn't go along with it. That thing wouldn't have ever had a Bill of Rights today. And where we are today is that sometimes I wonder if Christians even care. I've been at this thing for 37 years. I see a lot of stuff out there. I think, wow, I've seen changes today. In the pulpits across our land, there's never been such an abounding of truth and yet soft peddling of the truth. Too many of our former institutions or Bible institutions are now becoming sounding boards of infidelity. You think what we used to think was a great, strong institution that preached the Word of God, we're seeing that drying up everywhere. And I can name right off the top of my head at least a half a dozen Bible colleges that have closed since I've been in the ministry. Major ones that are closing. And then the enrollment's down. And so they're doing it all online. Well, I'm not discounting that, but I'm seeing so many different places of institutions that used to teach the Word of God are closing. And then you look at what's happening in our churches today. This is. I mean, I'm looking right here, and I'm seeing the truth that more than half the people in our churches across America are over age 55. Something like 60% of the people in our churches, and I'm talking about our kind of churches, fundamental Baptist churches, are 55 and up. What's that going to bring us in the next 20 years? Friends, I'm just telling you, we need to get in the battle. Is there not a cause? David cries out. And so we're facing some giants of infidelity and haters of the truth of the gospel, and the invaders are on every hand. It doesn't matter where you turn. They're out there. Wherever you turn, they're against us. I remember going to a meeting in Sarasota, Florida. And they had this little girl gets up there, and she says, "Sometimes I feel like a boy, and sometimes I feel like a girl. So I ought to be able to express my feelings. If you buy into that, my feelings, let's say your feelings is you want to go shoot everybody one day. You know, your feelings have got to be controlled by the truth of this book. There's your moral compass. When you throw out your moral compass, you can give way to your feelings, and your feelings could do a lot of damage." And she said, "I just want to be able to express my feelings." So some preacher got up, and you know, because they in the school board they had all the preachers wear white shirts, and then they had all the other sides, whatever they if they didn't have a white shirt on, we knew what side they were on. And so they let this preacher get up, and he very eloquently said, "He said we don't need to have this discussion. We already have the laws on the books. We ought to obey the laws that we have." He said, "My 12-year-old boy wants to go to a drugstore and he wants to buy a certain kind of literature. It's covered up, it's behind the counter, and he can't touch it till he's 16. So why can't we just enforce the laws we already have instead of having this young lady defile my innocent 12-year-old boy and sharing the restrooms and bathrooms and locker rooms and all this stuff? Why do I have, what right does she have to defile what I try to keep innocence in this young boy's life?" Boy, the crowd started clapping like that, and they just loved it. Then the psychiatrist got up. "Doctor, know everything." He said, "The problem with you preachers is you got too much God in everything." Yeah. Well, that just, one preacher just, he stood up and he popped the cork right there. He said, "The problem with you psychiatrists, you haven't got enough God in anything." I'm glad somebody stood up. Boy, then the crowd started, you know, they got going, and then the school board guy just put the gravel down. And he said, "We're going to dismiss this right now. We need to have more research on this thing." But I'm glad somebody stood up. Is there not a cause? Somebody needs to stand up and question what their... If anyone says this is the truth, what is your source? What is your source to declare something is the truth? My source of truth is right here. It's in the Word of God. It stood the time of over 6,000 years. It stood the time test. And if we would follow this, nobody who read this book ended up in a life of drug cultures and immorality. If you follow the Word of God, sure, there's a lot of examples of people who did wrong in the Word of God, but there's that there for your warning, and it also showed the judgment they got. David, when he thought he could get away with it, and he went into his immorality. You talk about someone who paid a price. Look at his kids. And one killing another one, then one tried to kill him. You know, how could that happen? The great psalmist David, who wrote the book of Psalms, and find out this is his family out here. Friends, we got to get back in the Word of God. And I'm not going to give precedence to someone over here, precedence over someone who wants to tear down this truth. Because this Bible is the dynamite that God can use to bring this nation and any other nation closer to Him. And a nation that's whose God is the Lord, God will bless. But what's happening is we're seeing all across America that is changing so quickly. Even before our own eyes, I remember when I was at Bob Jones, I remember Bob Jones Jr. said, he used to say, "I am sure glad I'm as old as I am, that I don't want to live through your generation, what you're going to go through." And I'm saying the same thing. I'm saying the same thing Bob Jones Jr. used to say. Now, he would say it some like a little more crass sometimes, a little rough, but he got the point across, and I learned to love the guy. And I'm, wow, we need some people out here who can say, I can get out there and fight the devil. I'm going to go fight the giants out there. And so when I look at what's happening in our churches, the Bible and the Bible colleges, there's never been so many opportunities to get the Word of God. So many schools are online. If you want a Bible degree, you can get that out there online. But why is it there is so much apathy within our churches? Our biggest enemy, our biggest giant out there that I see after 36 years in the ministry, the biggest giant is apathy in our church. I don't see as much because I see more young people here, but I see apathy in our church. That says, you know, let somebody else do it. I'm not going to get involved. I work too hard. I need my time. And so on. And I recognize it. Hey, I want to, hey, I give myself all year long, but there's 2 weeks every year. I'm just stopping everything and going with my grandkids and being a kid all over. I can't wait to take them in my airplane one of these days and get my hammerhead stall. They'll never want to go to Six Flags after I've done one of those with them. You know, I agree, we need to have some time with family. But what about doing something for the Lord? We're soldiers of the cross, but I see this apathy coming in the church today. And that's one of the greatest dangers out there, is that we can get to the place where we let somebody else do the job. Let somebody else get involved. Let someone else be the soldier. I'm too busy. Well, if you're too busy to serve God, there's something wrong with that. With apathy in the heart, we're seeing in our churches a declining in attendance. We were talking about this yesterday, this book Already Gone. When you think of how many young people age 18 will still be in church but age 23 or 24. And according to that book, it's only like 4% of those who were in church at 18 are still in church at age 24 after they've gone to the universities. Places where they're totally defying God. I remember I didn't want to bring it this morning, but I've got it. I think I put it on your computer yesterday when you asked me last night. Of the University of Washington went out, a bunch of preachers went out to the University of Washington and just asked people about gender neutrality. Do you think that the school ought to do that? Yeah, and everyone comes out, yeah, you ought to be able to express what you feel. But if you take if something is true, it's going to be true no matter how far to the left or how far, you're right over here, no matter how far you take it to the right, it will still be true. But when you said someone ought to be able to express how they feel, if you take that far to the right, they can say, well, if you said it's okay to express what you feel, then it's okay 100% of the time to express what you feel? No, then it's selective. Then it can't be true all the time. So it's true, and it's half-truth. No, a half-truth is still a whole lie. And we're getting people who they just can't seem to think. And their emotions are taken over, and I find it, and we're seeing this across America, where even in our churches, we got half-truths. Because a half-truth allows someone to become apathetic. Either God is going to hold you accountable or not accountable. And if I really believe that God's going to hold me accountable and I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I want to serve God 110%. Not just half-heartedly, because I believe the whole truth. Because I believe the truth, I'm willing to serve God 110% with everything I've got. Lord, use me. I remember crying out as a college student, going to the prayer room, that God would use me. And everyone thought, accountants? How could God use an accountant? I don't know, but here I am. How many here knew John R. Rice? Oh, right. We got a couple of people, all right? So now, you know what I'm saying. Someone asked John R. Rice, Dr. Rice, did God call you to preach? And if you remember seeing him, he had the glasses, and he put them down on his nose like that, if I can do this, right? And he'd look down, and he'd always look out in front of this. And when someone asked him, did God call you to preach? And he said, I don't know about this call. I just know, Lord, that I said, here I am. And Lord, if you don't want me, send me home. And And he ain't sent me home yet. You know what? We need some people today that's going to say, Lord, here I am. Am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? Am I fearful to bear my cross? We need some folks that are going to say, like David, there's some giants out there. And those giants, if we don't fight them, they're going to take away our freedom to even get the gospel to the rest of the world. I'm glad for what I see is in China. I've heard even higher numbers out there. And I know from just the work I do in tax law, by the way, they still have to file taxes. And I see what they're doing and how the gospel's getting out there. And God's doing something in China. I love to meet this missionary coming here. But friends, it took a missionary who said, I'm willing to try. I've got one person I do tax work, and I won't say his name, but he said he went to a meeting, an old-fashioned camp meeting. Now, and he went to this meeting, and he said, someone challenged us to go to the end of the earth. I don't know what the end of the earth is, he said, but I just went forward to the invitation. I said, Lord, I'm willing to go, and my wife is willing to go to the end of the earth and take our kids, five kids, wherever that is. So he's trying to ask somebody, where's the end of the earth? And someone said, it must be Outer Mongolia. You know what? Today there's a church in Outer Mongolia. And by the way, there's not just a church. There's a lot of freedom out there. And they're printing Bibles as fast as they can print them. And I won't tell you where they're going because we're on the air. But you can figure it out. Just because someone said, Lord, here I am. He didn't look at the giant. He looked at the power of the blood of Christ and the victory he could have in Jesus Christ. Make yourself available to God and see what God can do. If you look at this passage that in the beginning of this chapter, did you notice something here? Some of you read this a number of times, but in verse number 1, now the Philistines gathered together the armies to battle and were gathered together in Shoshak or whatever, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoshak and Ahaz in Ephes Damon. Now, what's that? Look up that word, and it refers to, there was two valleys. If you read the rest of the next part of the chapter, or the few mountains, the next verse 3 down there, you'll find that there was two mountains there, and the children of Israel on one side, and on the other side was who? The Philistines, right? And so in the between, there's a valley, and what's usually in the middle of the valley? The water drains down, and you got a river. So here's this, in Ephes Damon. That's where all these battles were fought. In fact, so many battles were fought, they called it the River of Blood because there's so many battles there. Friends, if you go forth with the power of the blood of Christ and the five smooth stones of the Word of God, you can defeat the devil out there. You can defeat the devil in your own life who's telling you, you can't do that. You've got this kind of background. Your home is broken down. And the devil will tell you all kinds of things that you can't do. Friends, tell the devil to take a hike. Because you can do it in the power of God, even as David could go out there and show the nation of Israel, even a lad could go out and fight a giant if he's got the five smooth stones of the Word of God and the power of the blood. Now, some of you know the five stones, some people say it's for Goliath and his four brothers. So, whatever it might be. But the smooth stones, I think, represents the Word of God. And then the river here was the River of Blood where there's so many battles were fought that now if you cross over in the power of the blood, I believe you can defeat the devil any way in your life. What's the devil telling you today? He's telling you you can't be used to God? Is he telling you that, you know, you got a past that's not conducive to any kind of Christian work? You're not smart enough. You're not intelligent enough. Or you're too old. You ever heard that one? Yeah. I think about my daughter. I wanted to give her my car, and she said, I don't want that car. Old people drive those cars. Yeah. I got an old people's car. Guess what? I wish I had a bigger one. With these crazy drivers out of there, I want a big old Lincoln Town car. You know, But we can go forth in the power of the blood of Christ and we can defeat the devil. I think of some of these missionaries that are going to this God-forsaken place in the uttermost parts of the world, in places where we could never get the gospel. Now with the internet and the cell phone, there's gospel all around the world. Hey, you said, I don't want to go to Outer Mongolia. How about doing right something right here with your own internet and your own phone that you can present the gospel to people who want to know? I don't use YouTube, but I understand you can find just about anything there, good or bad. I love it when you get a whole church full of people that said, we're going to put our testimony, how we got saved, on YouTube. Yeah, so that the rest of the world can see there's a whole church full of people who believe in Jesus Christ. And now you got their testimony of salvation. I love to jog every morning. I'd get several miles in. And that's what I did this morning. Jogging. And one of the things I love to listen to is Unshackled. Because there's a story every time you listen to Unshackled. The devil got defeated, and God got the glory. And friends, today, if we'll go forth in the battle of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can defeat the devil. Our nation today has been invaded by the news media giants who openly defy the gospel of Jesus Christ, and in their political strength, they seek to defy Jesus Christ. Friends, I'm not going to sit back and let them do that and mock and make fun of people who pray. I'm not saying I'm going to run for office. No, that's not the answer. Politics is not the answer. The Word of God is the answer. And if we can get the Word of God and get the fear of God in people's hearts, and if we can just sit here in our own church and say, I'm not going to be apathetic, and I'm not going to let the devil defeat me. I'm going to say there is a cause, and Lord, here I am, and if you don't want me, send me home. I'll guarantee you God knows every home. If you'll just say, Lord, here I am. You know, we hear the voice. We hear the voice every day, and I'm not listening to the news media. If I do something next week when I go to Washington, I would love to talk to our senator and just tell him, let's take out of the airports all across the country, take out the, I call it the Hanoi Jane network, okay? Some of you don't know what it is, so I won't offend anybody. But let's take it out of the airports and put the Weather Channel in, because everybody who's flying needs to know what the weather is anyways. Why don't we do something that's totally neutral then? And I crisscrossed the country 3 times last week before I came here. And you think, every airport I went to, all I heard is this awful corruption. And it's a half-truth, a little bit of truth. And there's nobody really innocent in the whole thing. Everyone seems to have an agenda, and that is just, and the end result is to destroy Christianity off the face of this earth. We are there. We are facing the giant. Can we say, here I am, Lord. I want to be in the battle. I want to take the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God, and I'm going to go, Lord, and I want you to use me. And volunteer and say, Lord, here I am. I believe God will open a door somewhere for you. Saul and his men were afraid. Literally, they were shaking in their boots. They were sorry, corrupt, and they were afraid of what? The sorry, corrupt Philistines. Which one do you think the power of God is on? Certainly not the Philistines. They're doing it in their own strength. But if they didn't go to fight, if they didn't go out there and fight, and David didn't lead them, and Saul didn't lead them, by the way, a leader shows what he's worth when the pressure gets on. And here, this leader was a coward. We certainly don't need any coward leading our country. And we don't need any cowards sitting in a pew just soaking up the sunshine and fellowship after fellowship and enjoying the milk and honey. We need some folks to get into the battle. I don't hear any amens. It's just I can't hear anything. There is dismay and fear in the hearts of God's people all across our country. And we're listening to the voice of the giant and the voice of and not the voice of an all-powerful God. And if we would listen to God's word, we would be like David said, Lord, here I am. Instead of rising up, I see many people are ducking under. It's awful quiet now. We're ducking under. You say, I don't have any talents. God's not looking for great talent. God wants great surrender. You know, I volunteered and said, Lord, here I am. I don't think I was any great student. Just said, Lord, here I am. And God, you can take David wherever he was. You can take a boy that grew up in the projects in Connecticut and put him in a Bible college. Now have people salute him and call him doctor. You can do that. God can do the same for you if you say, Lord, here I am. You say, I'm too old. No, no. Guys in the military, you know this. An excuse is nothing more than the admission of your own guilt. So don't give me your excuses. Just get out there and do the job. Well, I'm too old. No, you're not too old. Just I remember down in Bob Greenville, there was, we call her Miss Sunshine. You know what church she was at? They get real excited. People do 360s around the auditorium. And their pastor, he died when he was 96 years old. 96 years old. Going from bed to bed in the hospital. He's not saying he's too old. I'm looking at my friend Pastor Bill Wingard, 87 years old. I look at Fundamental Baptist, FBN, Fundamental Baptist Network radio station, over 40 radio stations around the world, started by a man 92 years old, still preaching. See, we don't have to say we're too old. We're just saying, there's something else I'd rather do. No, I want to do something that makes a difference for all eternity. Listen, friends. Don't live your life to make your presence known. Live your life to make your absence felt. Yeah. And so here we need to get in the battle. Too many of God's people don't want to get in the battle, and we're feeling like David. We're already defeated. I'm not conceding to this liberal news media and those who are anti-God. I'm not giving in to that crowd. I'm saying we can go out there and fight, and we can still win souls and fill these pews up. All the men in Israel were afraid. We have too many people that just don't want to stand up and are afraid to fight. God will fight for you in the battle. The battle is whose? The Lord's. I think I read that scripture. The battle is the Lord's. And if we would just say, Lord, use me, hey, it's still the Lord's battle. Lord, here I am, now use me. The man that God will use must be about his Father's business. So the man that God uses is not the one who makes up an excuse why he can't do something. You can do anything God wants you to do if you're just willing to say, Lord, use me. And God can take this frail hunk of flammable flesh over here, this clay, and God turns this clay into someone who reaches the world for Jesus Christ. God's looking for, not for great talent, he's looking for great surrender. Lord, here I am, all of us. You know, and the disciples, they left their boats, they left everything, and come follow me. And they followed the Lord Jesus Christ, and look what God did for them. David's job was to guard the sheep and to guard the well. And friends, today, our job today is to reach those sheep who need to be brought into the fold. And if we don't guard the well is the water of the Word of God that we can flow freely around the world through any kind of news media or media that we can get it. But we need to keep that flowing. But if Christians are ducking under and apathy is coming in, what do we have to look forward to? Ask God today. Ask God to give you a burning desire for souls. You really have a desire for souls. Does it make a difference when I think someone's going to hell? I remember years ago I met and heard Glenn Shunk. Anyone ever heard that name, evangelist Glenn Shunk? Oh, yeah, we got him, all right. Glenn Shunk served in the Korean War, at the end of World War II and in the Korean War. Great evangelist. And I remember him telling how his job was to be a flamethrower. Ooh, he said, they would be out there shooting and dropping grenades down in this bungee hole. And then after that, it was his job to jump down with that torch and just throw all the flames of people trying to come out of there and put them all alive. And he described something I never forgot as he tried to describe that, what was going on. Friends, that's what hell is like. That's only a smidgen what it's like. Because that'll eliminate someone's life, but in hell, the Bible says it's forever. Friends, we've got the chance today to reach someone for Jesus Christ. Lord, make me a soldier of the cross. Preach the word. Fight the good fight of faith and defeat the giant out there that's trying to destroy you. There was fear in the land of the land where David was. There was fear in his land. There was fear in his father's house. But David said, I got to be about my father's business. And he got involved as a boy. If you're walking in the center of God's will, you'll have nothing to be afraid of. You're walking in the center of God's will. But if you're walking away from God today and you're doing your own will, you got something to think about. Someone says, aren't you afraid that God will not supply your needs? When I told people I want to be an accountant and go help churches, no one ever heard of this. I wrote Bob Jones and he said, we know there's a need for that, but we never heard anybody doing it. We don't know anybody doing it. Another pastor, I think Ed Nelson, said, we know it's needed, but we know someone had tried it and there wasn't enough money in it to even make a living and can't support a family. And I wrote to 10 people out there, the key men in fundamentals, and 9 of them said no. Yeah, but I like my thing. It was Ed Nelson, who was the number one, who said, hey, you need this. We need this all across our country. And he had me come to his church. I shared that burden with them. You know, we need people that says, I'm willing to, even though the rest of the world doesn't think we need that, hey, if God's in it, keep going and keep going forward for God and say, Lord, here I am. When you're in the center of God's will, you have no need to be afraid. Peter was a coward, but after Calvary, he was strong in the army of God. He was a coward at first. Oh, how we need some people who are willing to walk in the will of God and know the Word of God. We can be fearless of the future if you're willing to say, I'm willing to be a volunteer. Here I am, Lord. Don't just be a spectator. I know we need people to work secular jobs and so on, but don't just be a spectator. Get involved. Take some tracts and share the gospel, because if we don't, the Philistines will take over. And the gospel will not go to the rest of the world. I'm glad in our family, someone said something to great-great-grandpa Nelson out here, and now we've got generations of preachers around the country who, because of one person got saved, and then his son got saved, and his grandson got saved, and his great-granddaughter married a preacher, and now my daughter and her husband married to a preacher, and we got 5 generations out there presenting the gospel because of one person. And then think of how many of those preachers who affected others who now are in the ministry as well. Friends, we need someone that says, Lord, I could do that. Please use me. Don't be a Saul. Be a David. Be a David who had the sword of the Word of God and the power of the blood, and he wins the battle. And now the gospel is freely given around the world. I said the greatest enemy in our church is apathy. There's a couple of signs that I can say, these are the signs of an apathetic church. When a church is slacking in attendance, and there is also a slacking for the hunger of the Word of God. And when there's a slacking for the hunger of the Word of God in a church, there's a sign that apathy is beginning in that church. I understand, there are times when things slow down in summer months. People take vacations. You know, people go away for weekends or something like that. But friends, churches ought to be growing, a thriving church. Churches starting other churches. When a decline comes, the trend rather than the exception, that's a sign you've got an apathetic church, a declining attendance. The declining attendance is the trend, then you've got an apathetic church out there. You got an aging church. And there is cause for a spiritual concern if we're not seeing anyone getting saved anymore. You know, I was in the church and the pastor said, it's been 9 months since we had anyone baptized. Well, wait a minute. How could you have 325 people here, nobody being baptized for 9 months? Is anybody out there presenting the gospel? And then it's another sign of an apathetic church is a lack of concern for souls. Do you have a real concern for souls? Every time I start to get a little bit apathetic and think about just me, then I remember what Glenn Shunk did. And he told that story, and I thought, I got the answer for that guy. I got some hope for that guy. But we need to go out there and make ourselves available to God. And it's not just one day a week or 1 hour of the week. You know, I did my part. I went to church on Sunday morning. No, it takes three services to really thrive and grow in your spiritual life. Three to thrive. But what happened? What's happening? You can answer the rest of it. What's happening to you? Is there a time that we were more on fire than you were now? What's happening? There's a decline in attendance, a lack of concern for souls. There's a lack of participation in singing. I was at a church a few weeks ago down here in Virginia Beach and had three people in the choir. And the pastor led the singing. It was a quartet. You know, you know what I praise him for? He didn't quit. Even with just three people in the choir. I'm gonna have a song service. Yeah. Hey, and that's where you might start. Say, Lord, there's just me saved in my family, but I'm going to do everything I can to go get the rest of the family saved and present the gospel. Yeah, your family may say you've gone nuts, you got religion, they may call you names and so on, but friends, they don't do that after they got saved. They call you blessed. I had a phone call this week from the first guy we ever led to the Lord in 1971. He called me this past week. I said, Ray, I haven't heard from you in a while. And he said, I just wanted to tell you how thankful you brought me to that Youth for Christ rally back in 1971. He said, I got saved. I married a saved woman. And then my kids get saved. My grandkids are getting saved. And I was just thinking about that. And I said, I got to find where you are and just tell you thank you. Friends, you don't get those unless you're out there giving. Say, Lord, here I am. A lack of participation in singing, indifference to the needs of others. Growing Christians are caring Christians. And we don't, if we don't care enough to know the people around us, then what do we expect God to do? I want to know each person in our church. I want to get to know those people. Hey, we often invite people over our house after dinner. I don't know you, but hey, we want to get to, because we're a band of brothers and sisters in the faith of the gospel of Christ. And we need each other. Hey, there's a lack of concern for others. And sadly to say, many of the churches across the country are going to pop psychology and contemporary music and entertainment. Friends, I enjoy having a good laugh. Yeah. I still laugh with my son-in-law and what I did for him. And, you know, that we had a good laugh over that. But friends, we need to have some real serious concerns for souls and for missions. When a church mission budget is completely goes down, pretty soon they cease to be a mission-minded church, and then they become an entertainment church, and God's already got a death warrant on it. My father-in-law had a youth pastor, and he had over 300 teens in a youth program at Fourth Baptist Church in Minneapolis, and under Dr. Clearwaters. And one of those was Wayne Van Gilbin Sr., who was one of the guys in the youth pastorate. They're way back. And now we're seeing generations from that. You know, but we are finding that if you don't have if you fail to invest in the next generation, you've got to die in church. A church without a youth program has got a death warrant on it. You say, well, I like our youth program. Why don't you help make it a little bit better and get involved as well as parents? Do something today. When Christ rebuked the Laodicean church, it wasn't for gross immorality or even doctrinal compromise. It was apathy born of pride. And we can get so proud that we fail to see that the foundations around us are being eat up. And one of these days we'll find out that we have something that running our country that we never would have dreamed. And some of you who are my age and up, you already see that. You know, in the 1950s, we had soldiers coming back from World War II. And there was an abundance of materialism. The rebuilding of our country. People are getting back into work and out of the military. And we had an abundance of material. A lot of people didn't have cars. You couldn't even buy some cars because all material went for the war effort. But now in 1950s, you had this an abundance of materialism. Then in the 1960s, we had the abundance of materialism. In the 1960s, you saw the apathy that rebelled against any kind of authority. And that brought these rock fest and went around, and the Woodstocks, and I don't even want to begin to even describe Woodstock. That was the beginning of the downward spiral. In the 1960s, we saw that. In the 1970s, we heard music come out and the songs that we couldn't even repeat and that should have been not even on the radio. It was so vulgar. And everyone, it seemed to be a sensual music to it. And then the rock beat. And then it came on with songs with selfishness, self-centeredness, self-aggrandizement. And just all the songs about self. And so we see this in the 70s and 80s. Reagan come in, and then we had the generation called the Generation X because they didn't see any future. Reagan's going to blow up the whole world, you know. And now we're seeing here in the 90s and 2000s, we're seeing the grandchildren of those of the 60s who threw off all morality. And we're seeing the second, third generation now. We're up to 74% of our population is born out of wedlock. Is there not a cause? If there's any time that you need to get on fire for God, this is the time you need to say, Lord, here I am. If you're not a born-again Christian this morning, that is, you never came to the place of your knowing that you are not saved. You ever come to yourself in conviction? I remember crying out to God. I said, I don't know where you are, who you are, but God, if you're out there, I want to know you because this is what I'm going through in my life. I just cried out to God. You know, God sent someone knocking on my door. Just a coincidence? No. God sent someone to knock on my door. How about doing the same thing? That was a Sunday afternoon when most people took a nap. This preacher said, I'm going to knock on your door. And came, that was Lenny Seidel, if you know him. He came knocking on my door. He could have stayed home and said, I got my family. I'm going to watch the ball game, take a rest on Sunday afternoon. He said, I'm going to go soul winning. Came to my door, and that made a difference. Now we got kids in the ministry and grandkids hopefully in the ministry. By the way, my grandkids are at Bob Jones right now. Or not this very minute, but they'll be there tomorrow morning in school. And one person came to my door. How about doing something today? Get involved. Say, Lord, here I am. This is not the great salvation message. This is a great service message. We need people who are going to serve God. And friends, we need to recognize that if we have apathy, confess that apathy today and confess it. Humbly cry out to God and say, God, use me. I don't want to just be a saint on a shelf, or Iron Paisley used to call it SOS, silly old souls or saints on a shelf. You got an SOS service. Yeah. Sinners on the side. We need to be out there and say, Lord, here I am. Don't let yourself decline in your attendance in church. I said to the Lord when I got saved, if I have to walk 5 miles, I'm going to get to church. I'm going. And my dad, in a career military home, my dad wouldn't let us. We didn't have any excuse. This is going to be contrary to a lot of people, but Dad used to say, if you see it, it's your job. Well, it's not my job to pick up those papers. I sit in the parking lot. Well, if you see it, pick it up. Shows character. If you see a job, don't say someone else to do it. It's a preacher's job. No. Hey, how about saying, Lord, here I am. It's my job. That person's unsaved. I know this Bible. And if you don't know the Bible, just get a tract. At least somebody can read a tract and get saved. But hand out some tracts. Do something for God today. Don't let your attendance decline. Don't let yourself have a lack of concern for souls. Get out there and say, Lord, here I am. I really do care about souls. Make sure you participate in every church service. Well, I just come on Sunday morning. I don't come to Sunday school. How about getting involved with all the services? You're not going to get too much religion. And you're not going to get too much God. You might get too much television or football, staying home, and you lose the kids at the same time. You can't tell your kids to go to church and you not go yourself. You're going to lose your kids that way. How about having a desire to see souls saved. And Lord, take away this indifference in my heart. Lord, use me. And Lord, help me to be an encouragement to someone else. Can God use you this morning? God can use any one of us if we're willing to say, Lord, here I am. And if you don't want me, send me home. Let's pray.